much for your clear message. My question, it's connected with the previous 4 years that you had as a Secretary General. And could you please tell us which would be the hardest moment of these 4 years and why? Thank you.
Of course, there are many. There are, of course, many difficult moments. Let me tell you on a very personal note that actually the most difficult moment for me has been the moment, usually once a week, when I convey condolences to nations that have suffered losses in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, that has been almost on a weekly basis at the very beginning of the council meeting, that on behalf of the council, I convey condolences to a country or maybe a number of countries whose soldiers have fallen in Afghanistan. That is actually the most difficult moment. I experienced exactly the same when I was a Prime Minister of Denmark and wrote personal letters to families who had suffered such losses. When we speak about politics, I think one of the most challenging tasks was the whole process to decide on the NATO operation in Libya. You will recall the decision to take responsibility for that operation. We took that decision in 6 days' time. It was actually a quite rapid process. You remember that the UN Security Council adopted an historic resolution to protect the civilian population of Libya, and NATO allies decided that the best way they could live up to their obligation to enforce that UN mandate would be to do it through NATO. And that was, of course, a challenging task. To prepare that operation, to make all the necessary political decisions, to follow it through and see it through to a successful end by the end of October 2011. So it was a challenging task, but I also have to say it was a very successful operation. We fully implemented the UN mandate.
Some other questions? There, somebody. A microphone.
Mr. Secretary General, it's been a pleasure to see you and hear you all this time. And my question is about an early work you wrote in 1993 from social state to minimal state. I was wondering if you could tell me more about what were the origins about the welfare state and the way you thought about the welfare state in the book. Thank you.
I'm really impressed that it has spread also to Romania. Yeah, it's been one of the most debated political books in Denmark in recent times, because it was quite provocative. I made the case that we needed comprehensive reforms of the Danish welfare system, actually in order to preserve welfare benefits for people who really needed it. I mean, the main argument in my book was that we have created a mechanism in the Scandinavian welfare states according to which 80% of the population receive benefits from 80%. Consequently, we pay record high taxes, which of course is an impediment to our competitiveness. So my main point in that book was to reform that system, to focus welfare benefits on groups that really needed such benefits. Consequently, we could then lower taxes and by that improve our competitiveness and stimulate economic growth and job creation. That is a very short version of that book. And you can imagine that in a country with that holds the world championship in taxation, that was quite provocative. The background was actually, as mentioned this afternoon, that I had served as the Minister of Taxation for 5 years. And after 5 years of service on top of the Danish tax system, I was, to speak honestly about it, quite frustrated, and it helped me mentally to publish this book, and it helped me to get through, I think, and continue my political career. And though it was a widely disputed book, it didn't prevent me from becoming prime minister. I can add just on a concluding note that during the election campaign in 2001, my opponent, the then Prime Minister Rasmussen, we are not related, he took my book and then he started to actually take page by page the book, and out of the pages he fabricated small paper aircrafts and started to shoot at the audience. The outcome was disastrous for him.
Thank you. Other questions? Yes, the lady, young lady there. Yeah, a microphone.
Mr. Secretary General, once again, I want to thank you for the great honor of having you here today. My name is Marina Penciu. I'm studying diplomacy at the Faculty of History and also Security and Defense and the National Defense Academy. I wonder, exactly, I would like to ask you, how do you assess the relationship between NATO and the United Nations after the Cold War? And can it be called a partnership with potential? Thank you.
Yes, indeed. I think we have seen a steady improvement in the relationship between NATO and the United Nations. No reason to hide that in the wake of the Cold War, there was some skepticism within certain camps at the UN as regards NATO. But back in 2008, the then Secretary General signed an agreement with the UN Secretary General that has created a framework for cooperation between the secretariats. Today, all NATO operations are based on United Nations mandates, which means that we report on a regular basis to the UN Security Council on progress in our operations. I think the most famous UN-mandated NATO operation was the operation in Libya, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago. The UN Security Council adopted this historic resolution. And within the framework of the UN mandate, we conducted our operations. And during that whole process, I had personally a very close contact with the UN Secretary General. So I think within the UN system, people realize that NATO can be a very efficient instrument to actually enforce UN Security Council mandates, and by that also strengthen the integrity of the UN Security Council and the authority of the UN Security Council, so that resolutions are not just hot air, but actually enforced in real life, and we do have the capacity to do so.
Yes, somebody else? Yeah, the young lady there, the microphone.
First of all, thank you for your inspiring thoughts towards us, the young generation. My question is somehow connected to the previous one. In the post-Cold era, there have been many skeptical opinions and predictions regarding NATO's relevance once the Soviet threat disappeared. Therefore, Your Excellency, Secretary General, what do you consider to be the main direction in which NATO and its missions and its purposes are heading in the international context nowadays? Is it going to preserve its collective defense purpose, or rather go towards crisis management and conflict resolution? Thank you.
In our strategic concept, which was adopted in 2010, we have defined three core tasks: collective defense, crisis management, cooperative security. I understand very well your question, and very often I get that question because, we succeeded during the Cold War to prevent the Cold War from getting hot. After the Cold War, we succeeded helping create a new Europe, whole, free, and at peace, as I said in my speech today. So NATO has actually been, I would say, the world's most successful peace movement, and been the guarantor of peace and stability in Europe and North America during more than 60 years. Actually, in a European context, the longest period of peace in European history, I think. So a very successful peace movement. Now, you might ask, but if the Cold War is over, we have a new Europe, why NATO? What we discovered after the Cold War was that we are confronted with new security challenges. Security challenges that also require collective defense. Terrorism. That's why we are in Afghanistan, to prevent the country from once again becoming a safe haven for terrorists. Piracy. Who would have imagined a few years ago that piracy would emerge as a security challenge, but it is, because at that time, pirates succeeded in disturbing our free sea lanes, and that can have devastating effects on our economies. It also requires a collective effort to combat piracy. Missile threats. That's why we are now building a collective missile, NATO missile defense system. Cyber attacks. In today's world, you can cause devastating damages to any society through cyberspace, through the internet. That's also an area where I think we need a collective effort. We need to help each other to ensure effective protection of our societies. So my point is, yes, the Cold War is over. We succeeded in creating this new Europe, whole, free, and at peace. But if we are to ensure continued peace and stability and protect our people, protect our societies against the new security threats, then we still need to help each other within an alliance NATO. So that's why we defined these three core tasks in our strategic concept. Of course, it's still essential that we have a strong territorial defense to protect our countries and our populations, but we realize that if we are to ensure effective protection of our societies in today's world, we will very often need to go far beyond our borders to actually protect our societies, like in Afghanistan or even in cyberspace. The core task is the same as it's been always, but in today's globalized world, territorial defense requires a more global perspective. That's the essence of our strategic concept.